मंगलाय कृष्ण साधुवदन हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
दामोदर is also the name of Krishna because of his pastime or his lila of being tied up by Mother Yasoda. So of course Dhamma means a rope. Udala means Krishna was the rope around his middle. So in the Bhagavatam there is the description of this pastime between Krishna and Mother Yasoda. And if we look at the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the pastimes of Krishna starting from his birth until his battle for Kshatriya and a little bit after that, his life in Dwarka, etc., there is a progression of the pastimes, most of which is chronological according to the time sequence. In other words, Krishna is born in the first chapter of the 10th canto, then Pupana, just after he's born, Pupana starts to kill him. So the first part of this is somewhat sequential. So we first, actually Krishna has three ages. He has his very, very young age, or his Kumara age. Then he has a middle period called Kalvanda age. And then he has a later age called Kaisara age. And actually Krishna does not age beyond that. And so it's also the age of Kaisara, even after he leaves Vrindavan. So, the first age is this part when he's very small. It's usually defined up between first year, second year, third year, like that, fourth year. And then the second age, the Kalvanda age, continues from that, from let's say the fourth or the fifth year up until the eighth year, and from the eighth until the 11th year when he leaves Raja, that's considered the Kaisara age. So, in these different periods of time, we also have different relationships becoming very common. So in the first Kumara age, the relationship between Krishna and his parents becomes very strong. So the Vatsalya Rasa, or the parental love, becomes very prominent in that period. When he goes into the Kalvanda period, then begins to herd the calves with cowherds and goes out in the field. So that they see the Sakyalasa becomes very prominent in that period. And after 8 years old, after he goes over downhill, then the end of Kaisara period, and then Madhurya Rasa becomes very prominent to the gopis. Of course, in all these ages, the older ones at least will have a mixture because in the Kaisara period Mother Yasoda still has affection for Krishna as a child, etc. But in the beginning period, when he's a baby, he cannot have Madhurya Rasa or even Sakya Rasa. So the first period is only the Vatsalya Rasa of Nanda and Yasoda for Krishna. And the elder Gopas and Gopis also in Vrindavan. So the first pastime, therefore, are predominantly or only Vatsalya Rasa. And actually, Sukadeva Goswami glorifies Mother Yasoda as being the greatest devotee in the first part of the, tenth canto. Later on, we have Gopi Radha as the greatest devotee. But after them, he glorifies Mother Yasoda as some of the greatest devotees of the Lord because of the strength of her love. If we look at the gradations of love, we have bhava, and then we have prema, and we have snema, pranaya, and raga, and anuraga, and mahabhava. All of which are exceedingly stronger and superior. So prema is at the beginning. And above that, you have all these other levels. So, of course, the cosmos portion is reserved for Madhurya Rasa. That is Anuraga and Mahabhava. It's got the strongest type of love. After that, we will have Vatsalya Rasa with Radha. And below that, we'll have Sakya Rasa with Pranaya and Sneha. And below that, we'll have Dasya Rasa with Prema. And bottom. So, in other words, the most intense love is Madhurya Rasa, and next to that we'll have Vatsalya Rasa. So, after the Gopis, the Madhurya Soda's love is becoming very, very strong. So, sometimes Krishna likes to test his ability. There's no testing in one sense because their love never deviates and never becomes weak. Nevertheless, Krishna does this to show us, to show the people in the material world, the strength of their love for him. So we'll find, for instance, that Krishna tests his mother Yasoda and her love by distracting them. And therefore, one day when Mother Yasoda was doing her job, then the cowherd boys came and complained to Mother Yasoda that Krishna is eating her. So Mother Yasoda became very upset, and she went to Krishna and said, "Are you eating her?" Krishna said, "No, I'm not eating her. This boy is one time in trouble for me. So I didn't do that." But then Mother Yasoda also knew that everyone was complaining about Krishna. And then she thought maybe Krishna's lying. So, then she said, "Okay, if you're telling the truth, then open your mouth and show me if you've got any dirt in your mouth." So then Krishna thought, open my mouth, I got dirt in it, and she's going to punish me. Anyway, I'll open my mouth. So he opened his mouth. And then she looked in the mouth. And she didn't see any dirt, but she saw everything in Krishna's mouth, the whole universe. Not just a little dirt, she saw the whole universe in Krishna's mouth. Which was disturbing, I must say. But ultimately, we see that Mother Yasoda was not disturbed. He forgot everything. Unlike Arjuna. When he saw the universal form, then he began to apologize to Krishna, and he said, "Please forgive me. I understand you are the Supreme Lord, and I've been treating you as a friend." So his friendship became a little bit reserved because of the understanding that Krishna was God. So, Krishna showed Mother Yasoda the form of God also, that everything was in him. But Mother Yasoda's reaction was completely different from Arjuna's reaction. He forgot. everything. He did not apologize to Krishna, said, oh, I apologize to the Supreme Lord.
No.
Rather, she thought, someone is causing problems for Krishna, and we have to protect him. Probably the Raksha. So therefore, she called the Brahman and had him chant mantra to protect Krishna. And she forgot completely this whole incident. So what that tells is that Krishna was testing her prema. Her prema was stronger than Krishna's display as God. And so that prema was able to cover up that perception that Krishna was the Supreme Lord when he built the universal form of his mouth. So, in the Govardhar Leela, which occurs shortly after that, we also find a little bit of a test. So, Mother Yashoda was going to some milk, and she was also turning some yogurt into a bucket. And Krishna was sleeping, and he woke up. And then he got up, and he wandered around, and he saw Mother Yashoda. He saw Mother Yashoda in the yogurt. That's how he was hungry. So he pulled up Mother Yashoda's sari, grabbed her hand so she couldn't move the formula. And so that was an indication that he wanted to drink milk. Mother Yashoda put him on the top and began feeding him milk. Then she heard the milk was boiling over on the fire. And she was thinking, this milk is very special because it has come from very special cows, eating very special grass, and the milk is very sweet. So I'm going to boil it down and make some nice sweet for Krishna. Then she heard the milk boiling over. So she put Krishna out and she went to take the milk off the fire so it wouldn't burn. Krishna was very upset. Because he was thinking, I'm so hungry. Why is Mother Yashoda put me down like this? So he became very angry at her. Even though he's God, he became angry. And even though he's God, he was hungry. So, what did he do? He fell to the yoga cloth and he shook up his foot. He broke it. And then, here it is. Feet around in the yoga a little bit. Then he walked away and he walked into the stove. And then he thought, oh, there's some pot of meat. So he took the pot and he went out the door and then he began feeding the monkeys to butter. All out of anger. But the story came back. Suddenly she saw the open box. And she saw the little footprint. And so she had a Christmas on it. Saw the pot with the footprint going into the door. So then she was thinking, Krishna is not a very good child. I have to punish him. So she got sick. And then she went in the storeroom and she saw the back door open and she understood Krishna gone out and she looked out the door and then she saw Krishna feeding the monkey. So she had her sick with her. But then, Krishna turned his face, and he saw Mother Yashoda at the door. So he became very frightened. So this is described in the song that he's saying that Krishna has very frightened eyes when he's looking at Mother Yashoda. And then, he began running away. And Mother Yashoda ran after him. Of course, Krishna has very little teeth. He didn't have one very fast. So Mother Yashoda running after his topic. This illustrates the fact that generally nobody can catch Krishna. We see in the nectar on the Upanishad, for instance, that I said there that the Lord moves faster than the wind, faster than the mind. No one can catch the Supreme Lord. And we also know that yogis cannot capture the Supreme Lord and then meditate on him or see him. Very, very difficult to reach for him. And of course, this is him, the bottom of the I am not attracted to yoga, or to sankhya, or to jnana, or to dharma. I'm not attracted to any of these programs. But I'm talking about people. So, it is difficult for people to control the Lord, once to see catch the Lord. But here we have Krishna running away, and we have Mother Yashoda running after him, and he catches him. So nobody can do it. No one can catch Krishna. But Mother Yashoda caught Krishna. So when she caught Krishna, what did Krishna do? She was crying. Now, of course, if Krishna is God, we should not think that God is afraid or God cries. Nevertheless, you can also not say that Krishna is only pretending to cry. Is he only pretending to Mother Yashoda and it's actually not like this? No. We must be crying. We tremble. So he is afraid. Though God cannot be afraid. Yes, he was afraid. So then Mother Yashoda had Krishna there. So then Krishna said, God is dead. No one is afraid. So Mother Yashoda is not afraid, and Krishna is not so afraid anymore. So Mother Yashoda thought, still, Krishna's broken the yoga class. Krishna's given me butter to the monkey. So I have to punish him for all of it. So, I will find him out. This is punishment. Krishna was thinking, I will never be tied up. Because I want to play. I'm my friend, and I want to go and play with my friends. So I don't want Mother Yashoda to come here. So Mother Yashoda got involved with other five Christians a week, mortal. But the rope was too short. So then the conclusion is to get tomorrow and not together. What's Mother Yashoda tomorrow time together? Still too short. Well, we get tomorrow. We got the more rope and tied more rope again. There's three pieces of rope longer. It was still the same amount too short. And she got more rope tied together. Still it was the same amount too short. So this was a little bit peculiar because mathematically speaking, if you keep lengthening the rope, the distance should be shorter. But it wasn't. Unless it's going to get bigger. But Krishna wasn't getting big. He's the same size. So how is this possible? So she thought like that, and she said, anyway, I still have to punish Krishna. So I'll get more rope. Get more rope, but still, same amount of short, 2 fingers too short. And this way, she would see many, many times, she went into the house and got the rope tied together and tied to Krishna. It was still too short. And her friends, the other gopis heard, and they came and were walking. And they began laughing. Said, it is impossible, you cannot tie them up, and they will give up. Useless. Mother Yashoda said, no, I'll never give up. Because Krishna must be punished. And Krishna was thinking, I'll never be tied up. He said, I want to go and play. So, there was Mother Yashoda's determination as a mother to punish Krishna. And as Krishna's determination that no one can tie me up because I want to play. So there was a war, of a war going on. And Mother Yashoda got more rope, still Krishna was refused. Got more rope, still Krishna refused. So the whole afternoon passed and this was Mother Yashoda grabbing more rope and trying to get in, past Krishna. And Krishna standing there and nothing else, nothing else. So like this, Mother Yashoda again and again and again went to the house and got more rope, then she went to the neighbor's house and got all the rope. Yeah? And she was getting tired. And she began to fire. And then Krishna saw Madhurya Sada was tired. Then suddenly he was tied up. So Madhurya Sada won. So her determination was so strong that she conquered Krishna. And his determination was less. Why? Because he saw that great determination of Madhurya Sada. And therefore, he was conquered by that. But he was defeated by her because of her great determination. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that when it says that two fingers are too short, and what does that mean? It means that you cannot tie up Krishna, you cannot control Krishna, unless two factors are present. If those factors are present, then Krishna comes under control. One factor is that we have to endeavor. As Mother Yasoda endeavors. Endeavor. In other words, we have to try very hard to please Krishna and do the work in service. Still, that's not enough. So Madhurya Sada was endeavoring with him. Why did Krishna become tied up? Mercy. He stopped such great affection from Madhurya Sada because of her endeavor. Therefore, he will be all the time. So one is, therefore, to control three Krishna to control. Very necessarily, the devotee has to put forth great endeavor. Secondly, well, this is say automatic, if one puts forth great endeavor, then Krishna is very compassionate. So when he's compassionate, then he comes under control of the devotee. So the two factors are necessary to bring Krishna under control. Otherwise, he cannot be able to put under control. So, we can say the yogi is also endeavor, the jnani is also endeavor. That's true. But it's not the right endeavor. Mother Yasoda's endeavor, well, in one sense, is how can that be pleasing you? To Krishna, they're supposed to be bhakti, they're not pleasing the time of Krishna, it's not pleasing to Krishna, Krishna was opposed to it. How can that be bhakti? How can that be a good endeavor in devotional service? But the definition of devotional service is not that it must please Krishna, but it is done with an intention of serving the Lord. Whether it's pleased or not, doesn't matter. But with that intention that I'm serving the Lord. So Mother Yasoda's intention is always to serve Krishna. So when Mother Yasoda put Krishna down to take the milk off the fire, that was for pleasing Krishna. He said the milk was for Krishna. Krishna was just pleased, but it was the most service for her. So similarly, in tying Krishna out, many Krishna may not like that. But that's one of your sort of affection for Krishna. That he must, as a parent, he must punish him or discipline him for his bad activities. So therefore she endeavors to tie him up. So that endeavor is also a type of devotional service, so it may not look like it's pleasing to Krishna. Remember that. Remember rain. So, therefore, there's a certain type of activity which will bring Krishna under control and by which he gives his mercy. And what is that? That's the very great sincerity of the devotee in his endeavor, that he is trying to serve Krishna somehow or other. So this pleases Krishna very much. So, nobody else can tie up Krishna. yogis and jnanis can listen to that. Other people, even the current tradition can apply it much. Mother is going to apply it. And so that shows the great extent of her love for Krishna. And I've said, Vakhtarya Rasa, the level is conceived with Radha. Very, very great attraction for the Supreme Lord of all stages in all time. So the lesson we learned from the past is that, and from the past time, is that the Supreme Lord, as Krishna, responds to his devotees in the most extraordinary ways. He is God, but he's hungry, he gets frightened, he gets angry, he runs away, he gets fired up. So these are counter to the notion, normal notions of God. Yet Krishna acts in this way for his devotees. He performs these tasks for the devotees. And contrary to the nature of God as the normal known, but nevertheless, in relation to his devotees, he does all this. And ultimately he becomes tied up by his devotees. So this illustrates the great compassionate nature of the Supreme Lord in relation to his devotees. Now, such pastimes are not available in other forms. So Vishnu was never tied up. Rama was never tied up. Nakshimadev is never tied up. Only Krishna. But he is the supreme form of God, but he also takes his position to be tied up. Why? It's because of that intense love of his devotees. So in other words, the most intense forms of love are manifested in relation to Krishna, not in relation to Rama or Nishima or any other form. And therefore Krishna does this. So Krishna, one of the qualities, four special qualities of Krishna. So one is that he has these very, very special devotees who express a very strong love for him, and therefore he acts like this. Another quality of Krishna is the extraordinary pastime. And this is a pastime. Another pastime for his Raja Lila. So Krishna performs extraordinary pastimes with these great devotees because of that intense love. So in this, what is the extraordinary nature of this pastime? Krishna gets tied up, even though he's got. What is the extraordinary nature of Krishna and the swallowing the dirt. Okay. Extraordinary factor is that, in spite of the fact that he does that, Mother Yashoda doesn't see it. She forgets it completely because of her family. So these extraordinary types of activities and pastimes is due to the fact that of Krishna's great quality and the great love of the devotee. So this creates a very unique quality to Krishna's pastime that he's created. So in other words, Krishna's in a very special position, and his devotees are in a very special position. And that's what we get these extraordinary pastimes. Okay, any questions? Well, Damodar, that's taken because of the deity of Radha Damodar, not because of the pastime. oranges of the rack. So in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no material lakshana. It only manifests in Taishwar, not in Kali, in Bhagavad, only in Taishwar for you. No one ever can finish. Well, the first stage for him, because he was so fallen, he could not endeavor. So the name in spite of the fact that one Namaha, that's the champion, the mercy of the name happened. And he was, all of his sins were destroyed by the mercy of the name. Therefore, the Yamadutas could not touch him, because all of his sins were destroyed by one chanting of the name. In Namaba, accidentally. Not just the people, all karmas are gone. So that's why the Yamadutas did not touch him. Now, the Vishnudutas were very merciful, and therefore, they gave him association, and he could hear the conversation with the Yamadutas. And through that, then he got some inspiration and some bhakti. And then he came back to life, and then he began to perform bhakti in Hardwar, in association with the lotus bhakti. Then he became the prema, the Madhava Kumbha. So it was, we can say, it was a gradual purification, first by Namaba, but then by bhakti, and then finally he got prema. Yeah. Well, that's a general definition, and we find in the definition of bhakti, honestly, in Krishna Vishnu is the main aspect of that of bhakti. Yeah. So anusidhanam, of course, means, in one sense, activity directed towards the Lord, and it should be anupudya. But the word anupudya has a wide variety of meanings, and basically means favorable. So that is, it must be pleasing to Krishna to make it favorable. But then, as I said, some activities don't seem to be favorable. So Mother Yasoda with Krishna, when she goes to take the milk off the fire, not because she thinks it's angry, but it's lucky. Because she's Mr. Siddha the lotus, she can't do anything not for Krishna. So she's doing it for Krishna, but anger Krishna. So we cannot say it's not Anupurina. The intention is to please Krishna, even if he's not angry. So therefore, it's called bhakti. On the other hand, we know that Krishna may be pleased with an action, but it's not necessarily bhakti. So an example of that is, Nrsimhadeva fights during happy food. That's pleasing to Krishna. Pleasing to Nrsimhadeva. He likes to fight. But it's not bhakti. Because the intention of Ramakrishna was not emotional at all. So something may be pleasing to Krishna, but it's not bhakti. And similarly, Ramakrishna was being in, but it's not pleasing to Ram. But it's not bhakti on the part of the being. So simply because it's pleasing to Krishna doesn't make it bhakti. Of course, you can also argue that ultimately, even Krishna's anger is not real anger. It's not the same as the anger he has for material world, whether it's his karma or whatever. So, in that sense, yes, it is still favorable in that sense, but his anger is not the same. At the same time, we cannot say it's false anger, but it's spiritual anger. In that sense, he says not stupid.
Thank you.
What's that? Oh yeah. Well, everything is related, obviously. Yeah? So, and at the end of the Dhamma Dhaptika, there is obligation to Surabha also. Yeah? But technically, that the pastime itself belongs to another period of time. That is the Balu period, the Komala period. Yeah? Yeah, it is. So in that particular pastime, no, not in that particular pastime. It is mentioned somewhere that there's another pastime, the Gopi pastime, pretty much. But that's not related to this pastime here. That's different, quite a different pastime. And if we look in the Nectar of the Boat, there's a section on Rasa Bhasa at the end, contrary Rasa. So generally, Vatsanga Rasa cannot go with Hanuka Rasa. That's why Mother Yasoda never sees Madhurya Rasa. She doesn't see Rasa Yasoda. It's contrary. You cannot have those two bhavas in one person. You cannot appreciate the two things together. So they don't mix. The Bodhi's Kami Namabhas is different from Ajayu's Kami Namabhas. There's two types of Namabhas. One type of Namabhas is people that are no-faith, like Ajayu, accidental or whatever. The other is Namabhas that are people that have faith, other Namabhas. So that means you are evil. So that Abhas is caused by two things, ignorance and an Ajayu. That makes the power of the name weaker. Whereas Subhanam, there's no obstruction, therefore it's stronger. The effect is stronger and quicker. Yeah? So, ignorance can cause Namabhas because we have faith, but we may think we're chanting the name of Krishna and Krishna's Devata so that we can increase our faith. Or, maybe that Krishna is between Brahman, Brahman, and personal. And that's where we really get a weakened name because it's against the children of Brahman. Okay. So, in that way, we don't very clearly distinguish Ishvara from Jiva from Matter, then we get a box. So we have to have some philosophical knowledge so we can understand things of perspective. Then, another type of knowledge is knowledge of bhakti. So, okay, God, Jesus, you are. But we need to understand what bhakti is. And instead of having bhakti, we may think of bhakti as something else. In other words, purely materialistic activity. With material goals. So we're worshipping Krishna to get material goals. So this again is not our intention, that's the way to get material things from God, that's kind of karma. So then bhakti yoga is karma yoga. So we have to understand the definition of bhakti. That is, you know, avyasa vasunya. So we have to know the bhakti, we have to have philosophical knowledge. And we have to have knowledge of the goal. Who is Krishna? There's a big Christian people with Vishnu, there is going to be a different effect from standing Hare Krishna. We get by Mutra effect instead of Krishna effect. But then we also have to know about Krishna, and stop Krishna different from everyone else. So that's part of the Prayojana. So that's one aspect. So that's clear that if we have knowledge, that will clear up some of the Namabhas. The other Namabhas is Anarthas. not invasive in the mixture of impurities. So we may have desire and the resolve of this bhakti. So we do bhakti, but we have a desire for Svangaloka, and it is found in the bhakti. We have a desire for liberation, and again with the bhakti, mixed with the bhakti, two together. Or we have a desire for city, then it is yoga with the bhakti. So we have to avoid mixture in the bhakti. Then we will have different emotional, mental problems, anger, greed, lust, perfect stuff, new things. Those have to be avoided. Lying, cheating, all these things, because anarchists. All those things have to be cleared out also. And another anarcha is apura. If it's not intentional, of course, then it is not so bad. It is intentional, very intentional. And then, of course, it's in another category. It's not even on the box anymore. It's called namapara. The namapara can act as a box, also on the box. It's not that intentional. So we have offenses against bhakti, namapara. We have offenses against deity, sevapara. We have offenses against devotee, vaishnavapara. And so these are all, and we have jiva apara also, so we have four apara. So these can also cause obstruction. Now if the non-apara becomes intentional, then we become, not, it's no longer non-bhakti. That destroys bhakti instead. It doesn't simply slow bhakti, it actually destroys it. So then non-bhakti, then non-apara becomes a jiva as a bhakti and as it's not authorized to bring structure to do it. Huh? So Namabhas is not very bhakti, but it's slow, a slow process of being a Namabhas. Absolutely. So how do we clear up ignorance with knowledge? And how do we clear up other anarchists? By proper practice and good association.